I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You are listening to
Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
99.9 KISW Metal Shop. If you hear some sounds in the background, it is because we are hearing Integrity Soundcheck. It's an Integrity incendiary at El Corazon tonight. And by the time you hear this, you might actually just want to head down and see Integrity because they are headlining tonight. But right now, I have a band from New York City, Long Island, I believe.
Correct.
Long Island.
Correct.
Called Incendiary. Welcome to Seattle, guys.
Thanks for having us, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Do you guys want to introduce yourselves and what you do for Incendiary before we go any further?
Yeah, I'm Dan. I play drums.
I'm Brian. I play guitar.
I'm Brendan. I sing.
Right on. Well, welcome up to Seattle again. And first, we want to give a shout out to our man, Tom, who made this connection.
That's right. Tom Sheehan.
Yes.
Indecision.
Tom Sheehan.
Most Precious Blood.
Greenpoint Godfather.
That's right. Axe to Grind podcast.
Yes.
Now,
exactly.
Newest claim to fame. What's up, Tom? How's it going?
I saw the Axe to Grind has a little ad in the new Decibel magazine.
It's very official.
I was like, wow, dude.
It's like a full page. Have you seen that?
No, it looks like
an ad for like Fender guitars or something.
Or like Relapse Records something.
It looks like very clean and official.
It's crazy.
Shout outs for that.
All right, guys. So first off, you guys are back in Seattle here. Tell me a little bit about some shows in the past. You guys have played Seattle. Obviously, you played Rainfest, I think. And tell me a little bit about your times being in Seattle. And another question, what are your favorite Northwest bands of all time?
Damn, I have to think about that. We played Seattle 3 times in the past, all Rainfests at Numo's. A couple blocks away, and it's always been great. This is like, you know, I know bands will say this when they come to a particular town, but Seattle is honestly one of my favorite places to come play. So once Rainfest stopped happening, I wasn't so sure that we'd ever get an opportunity to come back.
Yeah.
And then when these Integrity shows came across our plate, we just thought it was like a perfect opportunity.
Yeah.
To do it again. As far as favorite Pacific Northwest bands,
you want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So I'm gonna say Botch.
Nice.
I'm going to say Shook Ones.
Yeah.
I love Shook Ones.
Yeah.
And Seattle Hardcore Legends minus the Bear.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Kiss It Goodbye was up here, right?
Yeah. Even they relocated
like
here.
Yeah. I've been listening to that record a lot lately, so I'll say
nice.
Kiss It Goodbye.
Cool. Hey, how about you, man? Any Northwest band? We got some Nirvana love or something?
Oh, well, obviously. Come on, you gotta be a grade-A moron not to talk about those guys.
Should we check that out? Are they new?
Yeah, man, anything. Yeah, Nirvana. A little obscure. I don't know if you've heard of them.
Yeah.
Kind of underground.
But yeah, like Alice in Chains, Nirvana, like all that stuff is kind of like what we all kind of grew up on listening to. It was like all of our early influences musically.
Awesome.
So
do they still play those bands on radio over in New York?
Yeah, there's a couple of radio stations that play it pretty heavily.
Okay. Cool.
The Shark, yeah.
What I actually
on?
The Shark.
Speaking of Nirvana and Long Island Radio and 92.3, The Shark in particular. Is it 92.3?
Yeah.
You probably know better.
No, 94.
It's a different
radio station.
It's a different territory. Terrestrial.
Industry jargon.
No, but speaking of that, I was listening to The Shark over the summer and a Nirvana song came on. It was Lithium. And just to show like how low budget, can we curse on this?
Yeah, it's all good. It's not live.
How low budget The Shark is. It was on like a Saturday afternoon, and the track kept skipping at a particular part.
That's
over and over and over again. And I was listening to it for probably like 15 minutes while I was driving, just wondering if somebody was going to catch it. And nobody, it was on the air. They were playing the track, and like in the second verse of Lithium, it just kept skipping and repeating back over and back over.
Somebody went to a pee break.
Went to go
smoke a blunt and came back. And we're like, oh no. All right, man. Well, okay, so you guys are New Yorkers. What are your teams? What are your sports teams? Because, there's a lot to choose from of the state of New York.
I'm a large New York Giants fan.
Okay, nice.
The other sports, for me, I'm not super into, but I mean, I'm guess like Yankees and Rangers, but I'm a big Giants guy. I'm not a fan.
Personally, I like the Mets and the Islanders.
Okay.
Islanders are still in the playoffs, so that's pretty chill.
Nice.
Big fan of that, yeah.
I watch wrestling. So
You go. All right, favorite wrestlers.
NBA is fake. NFL is fake. Wrestling is UFC is fake.
Favorite wrestlers of all time.
All time, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Nice. There you go.
Ric Flair. Yes. Obviously.
All right, man. So you guys are playing with Integrity tonight. Do you guys remember the first time you heard Integrity?
Yeah, definitely. One of the Victory Style compilations.
Nice.
CDs. Yeah, it was probably. I think it was the track Rise. From Seasons and the Size of Days. I think that was the first Integrity song I heard. And then the first record I got was the Humanity is the Devil 10-inch LP.
I remember that album cover.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I bought a CD.
Scary.
Yeah, I just bought the CD at a record store. I was like, is that Puzzhead?
Yeah, it was awesome. Awesome.
And the cool thing about Integrity was we played with Integrity at the L&G in New London, Connecticut.
Wow.
And, but we were trying to figure out the year, like 2000 and it had to be like
2010 or 11.
Really?
Yeah. I think it was before.
But I remember we were like,
yes,
we were like super amped to do it, and they crushed it. That was the first time I had saw them also when we played with them. So yeah,
that's dope. And
favorite Integrity record is also To Die For. I know you didn't ask me that, but I just wanted.
That was a good album, and I remember I saw them play on that show. It was actually a show that kind of ended abruptly in Portland. It was a weird. Experience. Hey,
Going to the details.
Look it up. But anyways, that was a good album. I remember them playing a couple songs off that. I was like, yeah. And then I was like, aw. Anyways, hopefully they play some of those songs tonight. But now that we're talking memories, go around the room. And what are your first memories of hardcore? Like, what was like the first band that you saw live? Maybe like a kind of like that moment where you decided you'd got to get involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll go first, I guess. So for like. Popular hardcore bands, it was I bought a Strife t-shirt before I had ever heard the band.
Nice.
I think I was in maybe 8th or 9th grade, so like 1997 around
Hot Topic or something?
I did purchase it at Hot Topic, and I had never heard the band, and what happened was is I bought the Strife record because I was like, oh, this is a poser move because I've never actually listened to them.
Yeah.
I think I was probably like 14. And then I listened to that, and I was like, oh, damn. And then at the time, I started going to some local shows. A band called Subterfuge from my town was like really the gateway for me to get into hardcore and discover Long Island.
Yeah, I think the first like true hardcore band I'd heard was probably Earth Crisis.
Nice.
Again, it was on one of those like Victory samplers.
Yeah,
there was
this
like little independent record store that kind of specialized in like punk metal and hardcore.
Okay.
Like walking distance from where I grew up, and I picked up some like free sampler. And I remember it was like the first time I heard a band where the vocals were like nothing but screaming the entire time.
Yeah.
And Earth Crisis had like the first track on that. So it was probably that. And then I think what made it a little more tangible was when I heard like Vision of Disorder.
Okay.
Because they were kind of like a little bigger and like had CDs in like regular record stores. And then when I kind of found out that they were from Long Island, that kind of made it like a very tangible tangible thing for me.
Absolutely.
For me, I think it was like 96 or 97. My friend Dan was going to record a show for a sociology project he was doing.
Wow.
He was like, yo, do you want to come with me? You know, like, I usually give you a ride home from school, and this is what I play in the car, but you want to go to a show? I was like, sure. It was VOD, Glassjaw, and...
That's a Long Island show.
Yeah. Warped Weeble Wobbles, 10-Yard Fight, and I think that was it. It was like... And I just remember walking in and seeing people flying off the stage and being like, yeah, this is it.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And that, and ever
that
since
was
then.
22 years ago.
Yeah.
That's
pretty
dope.
Crazy. Yeah.
All right, man. Well, thinking back to that time, like maybe even earlier, what's like the first album, first CD or whatever, first piece of music that you actually purchased on your own, not something that was given to you?
Rage Against the Machine, Evil Empire was the first CD that I bought with my own money. And then, like, later that year, I wrote a report on it for a music class.
Cool.
And, like, I think it was in middle school when that came out.
Were you playing drums already by that time?
Yeah, I was playing drums already by that time. But that was, like, because, like, I had gotten into, like, Nirvana in, like, fifth grade. And then, like, sixth, seventh grade, I started getting into Rage. And then that album came out. And that was, like, the first CD that I purchased with my own money.
Nice, dude.
Yeah.
The first piece of recorded music I bought with my own money,
that's
the question. It was a cassette single for Guns N' Roses, You Could Be Mine, from the Terminator 2 soundtrack.
Nice!
And basically only reason I bought it was because the Terminator was on the cover, and I thought that was cool. I still think the song is cool, though. Yeah. And the movie is great.
That's crazy.
Mine are from a rest stop in Pennsylvania with my family on vacation. It was two cassette tapes. One, an early Red Hot Chili Peppers greatest hits. I have no idea. And then the second one was Bruce Springsteen, Streets of Philadelphia, from the motion picture soundtrack Philadelphia.
Nice.
Yeah. Huge bummer of a song.
Very serious music choices.
Yeah, right? I'll never forget that.
Yeah. How old were you?
Oh, man. I'd have to... I guess I was probably like 13,
okay.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on, man. Well, bringing it back to the band, you guys released Thousand Mile Stare in 2017. Awesome reaction. We play that record.
Thank you.
And awesome. Can you guys give us any hints when we might hear some more incendiary music?
TBD. Still kind of talking about that.
Cool.
I don't know what the future brings.
I mean, it's still relatively new.
And especially the way that we do the band.
It's not like you guys are a full-time touring band.
Yeah, we don't... which has major drawbacks. The benefit is we don't necessarily run the album into the ground really fast. So I think it still has some legs. And
are there still songs that you've never even played live?
Yeah.
And, you know, at Brendan's point about it having some legs still, like, there's a lot of places that we haven't even played since the record's been out yet or played one time. Like, we played L.A. or the West Coast really yet. One single time for Sound and Fury in 2017.
We've never
played Seattle or up here since the record's been out. No real plans. I mean, I think we're all starting to get the itch to start messing around again.
Yeah.
But no real like concrete or formal plans at this point. Yeah.
Right on. And that's on Bridge 9, right? Was
Closed Casket Activities.
Closed Casket?
Yeah.
Okay, my bad. Right on. And all right, so I got to ask you about the WWE stuff. So, you know, Brandon, your voice can be heard on WWE, SmackDown, Raw every week. You did vocals for the wrestler Aleister Black's theme song. I mean, if you follow that guy, you know he likes metal. He likes hardcore.
Yeah, exactly.
How did this come about? Like, take us back to the moment you heard from WWE. How did this come about? And did you have any input in writing the song, or was that band CFOS or whatever?
So the CFOs are John and Mike, and they do most of the music for the WWE.
Yeah.
And what had happened was Aleister gave sort of guidelines of, like, the type of bands he was into and what he was looking for an entrance theme. And I had been friends with John, and John was aware of, like, a fan of Incendiary, and so he was like, I think your voice would be good for this.
John from CFOS?
Correct,
okay.
Yeah.
They're, awesome.
To be 100% clear, like, they are the masterminds. So they write,
cool.
If you hear, like, a great WWE entrance
even, like, a
music,
Sasha Banks theme song or something like
everything.
That?
Everything. Literally everything.
So you're a fan, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's all them.
So,
yeah.
Like, the Nakamura song was them. Bobby Roode song is them. Like, every big entrance, all the NXT
geniuses.
Yeah, for real.
And they could. Yeah, I mean, all the, like, it's them. Like,
that's
it's them.
Awesome.
I sing on it, and it's, I'm stoked. And so what happened was we actually went into their studio one night, me, Brian, and Rob, our other guitar player, and the music, they had that figured out. We sort of like, and they had some lyrics, and Aleister provided some lyrics, and we kind of collabed on it and put like the whole structure together and went through some variations with the WWE because it was very much like a song at first.
Yeah.
And they wanted it to be like perfectly timed entrance music.
Yeah.
It really happened with the way that it came out. But
it's got to kind of just be a chorus.
Exactly, yeah. But John and Mike are legit masterminds with this stuff, and it's been pretty surreal.
And
I'm happy people like it. Like, I mean, besides the fact that, you know, when you put music out there, you don't know what to expect, but it's also, like, it's not normal WWE music with me, like, screaming or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's actually gone over better than I could have.
It's kind of like industrial.
Fathomed.
It's more like industrial than what I would hear
from
Incendiary.
But I mean, from all accounts and from what John and Mike have said, I mean, it's been doing really well. The fans seem to love it, so it's pretty crazy.
I seen him live, and people were singing along to it. And people
probably
will never go to a hardcore show, you know. But they know that's a very memorable song.
I mean,
We did a couple shows in Texas in February. It's like 2-3 months ago. And I remember at the Austin show in particular, there was like 2 or 3 people that were definitely there wearing Aleister Black shirts. So I can only assume that, like,
it was a crossover.
That's why they were there. Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's cool.
And like the other thing that's really cool about it is that, like, a lot of people have been, like, traffic has been driven to us from that. Like, people who wouldn't have heard about us normally.
Oh, yeah.
Like, on, like, a bunch of our YouTube videos, you see comments like, oh, I checked you out because of the Aleister Black theme. You
That's
guys,
dope.
Like, I'm totally into you guys.
That's
now.
Crazy.
So it's just, like, a great unintended consequence of this whole thing happening.
The goal, I mean, the goal for us, I think, is... it's awesome that people are checking out Incendiary, but then, like, it's now going to open up you to this whole gateway of hardcore music that, I mean, people, you don't just, like, naturally get into hardcore. Someone shows you hardcore
or
something happens. So I'm hoping that people are like, oh, let me check out this whole scene. You know, it's definitely cool that people are going to check us out.
I mean, it's a lot easier these days. They could
for
just,
sure, like, yeah. You, now they see Spotify, like, all of our related artists and stuff. So hopefully it's going to be a catalyst, especially for 16-year-old kids hearing
it.
That would be the goal. And I mean, for me, yeah, that would make me very happy.
And you got to perform that live with Code Orange playing the
best. Yes. Yeah, music. That was the most surreal experience of my entire life.
You got to meet all the wrestlers and Triple H and everything?
Yep, met Triple H. We were just backstage. Extremely nerve-wracking, but Code Orange, like, just, they killed it.
They're
they did. I mean, Code Orange are a great band, great friends of ours, but they had it down pat, the live version, and... We did this. We performed it in a practice space the night before, and Triple H was just Triple H just standing in front of me, staring at me. So you know, no pressure. And then,
if you do it bad, he'd give you the.
And at that point, like, that was almost like an audition to see if it was going to get the green light for the show the next day. Like, when they were rehearsing it, it was like not a done
deal.
It
wasn't official.
Yeah, it's like he's going to come by, check it out, see what he thinks.
And he loved
then
it.
He'll green light it.
I didn't know we were actually doing it until 4 days before.
Wow.
Like, it was very, very, very last minute. So, like, but it all went off without a hitch. I mean, it was very nerve-wracking, but it was a very cool experience. And, like, we had, like, our friends there.
Yeah.
And it was great to do it with Code Orange. That's the other thing, because they were our buddies beforehand. And were performing a track for the
opening.
As
the theme song. Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. And so, like, they knew that we were friends and we made it happen, man. And it was...
that's so awesome.
It was pretty wild.
That's pretty crazy. And that's probably more people that will, like... That like, what? Like, thousands of people there at the Barclays Center.
Yeah. It was sold out, I think.
And, I mean, you played. You opened the show, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it was like... And Alistair came out and, like, threw the band. And it
so
was
awesome.
Wild. Yeah. And he's a really cool dude, too, so...
What's it going to take for you guys to play that live?
Virtually nothing. Yeah, we would never do it.
You wouldn't
ever.
Do it?
No, never.
All right.
Yeah. Because it's, I mean, like, it's just, like, I think it serves its purpose.
Okay.
And I think, like, it's a little bit straying from what our music is.
Yeah, I would agree.
And our messages, and especially, like, a lyrical content. But I'm not, I mean,
it's
I'm
just a good wrestling
very
theme.
Proud of it. Yeah, but it has its own lane.
Totally.
Yeah. People ask us all
like
the time.
An entrance for us. We could, like, come out before our set.
That's a good point, yeah. Play it over the speakers.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, it's kind of what Brendan said before, but, like, I think part of the reason, like, Code Orange was able to, like, recreate that, because there's a lot of, like, depth and things going on in that track that's kind of, like, outside
what
Incendiary usually does. Yeah. So I think it was better served with them pulling it off live than us doing it.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Cool. Well, I do the radio show, Metal Shop, on KISW. And if you guys had your own radio show, what are a few bands that you would make sure you had to play?
Oh, man. Like, should I, in terms of up
any genre,
or
anything you
any
want to play? It doesn't matter. It could be anything from Nirvana to Bolt Thrower to Sade, whatever.
I know it's like, it's definitely in vogue now, I think, but I've always been very into two kind of, like, subgenres. One is, like, that late 90s emo, so, like,
sure.
Promise Ring, Braid, Get Up Kids, like, I'd love to play all that and mix all that, and then, like, the, like, Brit Pop, Ride, Catherine Wheel kind of a thing, too, so... I always think that'd be pretty rad. I'm really into both of those things.
Hey, I love it because you're wearing a Suffocation t-shirt. You sing in a hardcore band, and now you're shouting out all these bands that you wouldn't expect. It's very, it shows the depth.
Yeah.
Totally.
I'd probably use the opportunity to kind of, like, highlight a lot of the bands that, like, I grew up listening to it
okay.
from like Long Island and like some of the newer bands that we're friends with now. So like, you know, going back to like a lot of the stuff that came out on like Exit and Wreckage Records, like Indecision and Silent Majority and Motive and things like that, that were great bands that I don't know necessarily got exposure outside of, you know, the little Northeast East bubble. Some of those bands toured more than others. And then some of the newer bands, Somerset Thrower and Sanction, like some of the newer bands that are coming up on Long Island that I think deserve, you know, people to hear.
Yes, shout out to Sanction. They came through here with Dying Fetus.
That's right.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Our homies.
My like two favorite things to listen to is like metalcore and soul music.
Okay.
So probably like Tony Danza, Tap Dance Extravaganza, and like Acacia Strain, but then also like James Brown and like Budos Band and okay. Like the Daptones, like stuff like that.
Zero. All right. Listeners.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. The lowest rated radio station in America. KDN playing all the music you don't want to listen to.
All right, so we already kind of talked about it earlier, but you guys aren't a full-time touring band. I'm assuming you guys have, like, day jobs and things like that.
Yeah.
Can you guys just give me a kind of an idea of what you guys do throughout the day? And, like, do you guys have families, like kids, or are you guys – how's that going?
I'm getting married at the end of the year in
awesome.
November.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. What's up, Sarah? And then I work for a high-end fabric and furniture manufacturer.
Cool.
I shoot and edit, like, sales meeting videos and instructional videos and, like, training and stuff like that.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm a single guy. I'm still out here.
All right. What's up, ladies?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm an account director at an ad tech company, so advertising technology. So it's nerd stuff, but it's cool. It's the internet. It's fun,
and
casual.
You got to have a nerd stuff job in New York City to be able to pay the bills like that.
Yeah, so, exactly. Right. But it is cool. I've been in that industry for a little over 10 years at this point, and it's like I've kind of like found my home there. It's fun and it's casual, but there's money to be made and you know, a future there. So I've been fortunate to find that, and it allows me to like balance this stuff too. Like nobody thinks it's crazy that I come out on the weekends and do stuff like this. Some people from my job have been cool enough to even come out and check out the shows and
That's
like
awesome.
be pretty supportive of it. So yeah, it's cool.
Cool, man.
Yeah, well, we sort of had jobs in conjunction with the band and have been doing the band for 12 years now, and so it sort of organically always like parallel pathed, you know what I mean? Just kind of, it wasn't like a conscious strategy or decision. I just work for a big media company. I sell ads.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Right on. Cool, man. Well, that's crazy. You guys, so I'm assuming it's like you guys all live in New York City, correct?
Yeah, so three of us live in Brooklyn, in Greenpoint, sub-Greenpoint. And Danny lives in Long Island, and Matt lives in Long Island now, too. Yeah.
How hard is it to, like, do a band in New York City? Because I'm assuming even just a rental space would be expensive.
We have a great spot that we're pretty lucky to have in Bushwick. But I think overall, like, we have a abnormally similar like ethic and view. So the five of us we don't really like argue. Like we're just lockstep in the things that we do. Everyone has the same motives, has the same things that they want out of Incendiary, has the same things that they don't want. It's the only reason we are still a band after this much time in the weird and like stressful way that we do the band.
Yeah.
But like, that's, I think, the reason why we've just been hyper on the same page for the last however many years. And so we have it pretty down pat. We have a great space and it allows us to do everything. We are in constant communication and we're also like great friends, and we have sort of like a democratic approach to doing the band.
Cool.
So it's like it works out pretty well, I think.
Yeah, the metaphor I always use is like we're the hardcore Army Reserve. It's two weekends a month, one
I
week
like
a
that.
Year. You know, so it's
totally.
Like we do what we can when we can, and it you know, it just really works out that way.
All right, looks like you guys got alcohol delivery. That's pretty badass, man.
Oh yeah,
that's awesome. What do you guys got there?
I got a bottle of Jameson.
Yeah. Ooh, all right, right on.
Shout out Jameson.
Get that before the show. All right, man. Well, I got a question for you guys. So there's this term in hardcore that we use is even if someone's 30, 40, 50 years old, people still say hardcore kid.
Right.
Would you still say that you're hardcore kids?
Yeah, I mean, I wear camo shorts and go to shows.
There
so,
you go.
You know, like, me, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely still act and dress like a teenager in most aspects of it. So, yeah, I think I would identify as a hardcore kid, sure.
Yeah. So I think it's always part of your life.
Like once a hardcore kid, always a hardcore kid?
I think so. I think it's also a big part of our social circle also. I've met most of my best friends through this music. And so, yeah, I think
it evolves as you get into your mid-30s. Things change a little bit, and I can't get to every show
it's
on a
Tuesday
night.
It's not always shows above everything else.
Yeah. Not always, no, yeah. But I mean, I think...
like, get some sleep,
rest. Yeah, that, and yeah,
get some
exactly,
food, then do a stage
else.
Dive.
I thought your question was more about the literal like term kid at the end of that. If you're talking about do I still identify as hardcore, like absolutely. It's okay. A huge part of my life.
Yeah.
It always will be. To Brendan's point earlier about like, yeah, we could do this or like go to a show or not, like part of the thing about living in New York City and Brooklyn now too is like there's so much going on at all times, and I still genuinely feel like if there's a show and like I don't go, a lot of times I still feel like I'm missing out.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I bet there's cool. I bet there's competing shows all the time.
Right? Yeah, all the time. It really is. Like it's
Brooklyn can be overwhelming sometimes. The amount of live music.
Sure. Yeah, but it's still like it's a huge part of my life. It always will be. I can't imagine it ever not being. And it's cool now just being a little older. It's like I just feel like a little on the other side of it. So I'm still participating in it, but kind of like in a different way, in like still doing a band. You know, we still like when we play locally, we're still very hands on with the shows we book and you know, the shows that we take on and stuff like that. So I still like I still like participating in it, even if I'm like kind of on the other side of the table now.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think it gives us the unique ability to like focus on younger bands that have like a lot of life left in them, or maybe we don't have as much life left in us. Yeah. And I think that it gives us the ability to like put on for some bands that helped us out when we were younger and like we're trying to get shows and stuff. So it has cyclical like that, I think, in nature, and we're in a good spot. Still enjoy it.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
Well, just a couple more questions before I let you guys go. When I do interviews, I like to do a little research and check out other people's interviews to make sure I'm not like asking the same thing over and over. You guys were featured on a channel that mostly does hip hop stuff, No Jumper, which right. mostly does like kind of underground or like SoundCloud rap, right. You know, face tattoo rap, you might call it. But so, how'd you guys get an interview on No Jumper? Because it's like what you and the dude from Blood for Blood are like the only hardcore
right.
metal related stuff. Tell me about that.
It was because of my face tattoos.
Oh yes,
no, I'm
yes.
just kidding. I do not
several
have any
of
face
them.
Tattoos. No, Adam's a good friend of mine. We were roommates together in Brooklyn. Adam
okay.
lived in the city for a while, and we continue to be friends. And we were out there for Sound and Fury a couple years ago, and he hit me up like, "Hey, like, you want to just come on the show and do it?" And it was fun. And I think it was funny for us because like. He has a lot of guests on that he's just the host.
Yeah.
But, like, I've known him for a really long time, so it was funny to just, like, shoot before his, like, No Jumper days.
Oh, it's got to be crazy to see him from, like, what, being roommates with him, being friends with him?
Yeah.
And then seeing him ascend to, like, this, like, I mean, he's like a clout god, right?
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
As
yeah.
far as
well,
that.
I mean, that's like with like the interview that we did. Like, I think, you know, because I listened to a couple of his.
You brought him back down to earth?
Like, I wouldn't say that, but I think we were definitely talking to him, or our conversation just like had a very different vibe than like
sure.
the kids who were on there, like trying to like seek his approval.
Oh, yeah.
Or, like,
yeah.
understanding he's this like influential, like tastemaker guy. Now we were just like.
He's like SoundCloud
about, like,
rap dad.
Yeah, like we were just talking about like yeah. like funny old stories.
Oh, yeah.
Just hanging out back in the hood and stuff.
But that's cool, man.
I mean, with him, like nothing.
So is he like a hardcore dude? Or was he?
Yeah. I don't think, you know, he's always been a huge hip hop head. So
okay.
that's the one thing I can say. Like, the stuff going on with him now, it's not really that surprising to me.
Okay.
He's always had like a obsessed mindset about being a content creator, like
yeah.
obsessed with being online and stuff. And he's a total lunatic, and it's working out for him. So
yeah.
I'm happy for him.
You guys are going to be here in Seattle for how many days? You guys just
so
going to be here
just,
today
just
and then
this
flying
gig,
back?
Yep. And then we're going to be back on the West Coast for Sound and Fury in LA.
Dope.
And then we are going back to over to Europe and the UK for a quick trip.
Nice.
And then in September, we are playing Mexico City for our first
time. Wow, that's
so
awesome.
Very excited about that. It should be rad. Yeah.
You need to go to the Lucha in Mexico.
Sure,
yeah.
That would
some
be awesome.
CMLL.
That would be awesome.
Arena
yeah.
Mexico, yeah.
I would love to do that.
Yeah. And they'll be like, "Wait, I saw you on NXT."
Yeah.
all right, man. Well, one more question for you guys.
Yes.
If you could pick a scar on your body and tell us a story of how you got that scar.
All right, so I, like, this is funny you should ask. I have, like, a ton of scars on my hands just from being an idiot. I did landscaping a lot with my dad, so my hands are all chewed up. But probably my favorite scar, I have, well, I have two on my forehead that are pretty big. One I got into a car accident and busted my head on my steering wheel.
Yikes.
And then the smaller one, when I was, like, three, I was, like, spinning around like an airplane in my living room. And then my parents told me to stop, but I just wouldn't listen. And then I stopped, and I fell and hit my head on my fireplace.
Uh-oh.
And my mom was pregnant with my brother at the time, and my dad was like down the block hanging out at his friend's house. So she had like, she was like screaming down the block for my dad to come, and then they drove me to the hospital.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was a pretty cool time. But like, the weird thing is like I kind of remember it happening. Like I remember like just like my face covered with blood like when I was three. It's pretty
damn
weird. Yeah.
Yeah, so for the listeners at home, you can't really tell, but my most of my forehead kind of looks like chopped meat from all the blading I do in my independent wrestling on the side.
Are you really an independent wrestler?
Yeah, a lot of crimson masks the hard way.
Oh, man, Abdul the Butcher, literally.
Right across the hairline.
Dusty Rhodes.
And that's honestly a great question, a really interesting, cool question to close it out with. I don't have a cool answer. I don't really have many scars. I have like
are you circumcised?
That here, yeah. Ah, nice. Yeah. For sure. I have like a tattoo that healed kind of poorly, if you want to count that. But
okay.
Nothing really comes to mind.
So I don't have a scar, but I have a good story. So I have like a permanent contusion on my left leg because when I lived in London in the early 2000s, and sometimes maybe we had a couple pints at the pub, and we would slide down the escalator in the tube stations. And if you've ever been to London, some of them are like multiple stories deep.
Wow.
And so one time I was sliding down it and there was like a metal box at the bottom to say, you know, like working or not working.
Okay.
And I hit it going probably like 20 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And my entire leg from my ass to my foot turned black.
Oh my God.
And I didn't do anything about it. So I have like a permanent, like firm contusion on my leg from it. So pretty sick.
That's nice.
Yeah, really nice.
All right, guys. So anything you guys want to plug before we go any further and end this thing? Where can we find your music and whatnot?
Yeah, we're on Spotify. We're everywhere. I'll plug Closed Casket Activities, our label. If you're interested in our music, check it out. 1,000 Mile Stairs out now. It's been out for a little bit, but I still think there's people that probably haven't heard it. And go to shows in your hometown.
And listen to him on WWE.
Yes. Yeah. Depending on when this airs, I'd like to plug our set tonight. We'll be hitting the stage at 10:40.
Yeah. All right.
Don't know if that's possible, but come hang out either way.
Man, that was a sick set, dude.
I'm going to shamelessly plug the other band that I play in. It's called Carcosa. It's like stoner death metal stuff.
What is it called?
Carcosa.
Carcosa.
Yeah. It's like it's like stoner death metal blast beat stuff. It's a lot of fun.
Sweet, dude. Yeah. Right on. You guys have a record out?
Yeah, we're on Spotify. We're pretty much, you know, on pretty much every streaming service.
Right on.
Yeah.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.